You're back at the Magic Hour with Michael McCallum. I'm your host, Michael McCallum. This is an internet broadcasting podcast brought to you by Rebel Pictures and the Michigan Business Network. We are in Blue Owl Coffee, so I want to give a quick shout out to Nick Berry and Rich Whitman and their whole wonderful staff. We are in Old Town in Lansing. We just got done with a Pickup Lansing event. That is an anti-littering event that my good friend Omar Karim and myself have started, and you've been able to be a part of that. So I would like to get into that at some point, but our last segment we were talking about writing and creating and kind of being your own worst enemy and your own worst obstacle. So what has changed for you when you first started writing? I mean, you know, there's a point you said you were always considered to be a pretty competent, you know, I would say talented writer, but even at a young age, that doesn't mean you go into that profession, whether it be writing for the City Pulse or doing your own reviews or becoming, you know, involved in a school, and you could have taken a way different path. What was it that kind of drove you into that?
Well, you know, I think the interesting thing is, of course, when I was younger, we're talking like the late 80s, early 90s, you know, everyone can't be a Stephen King. It was hard to break into publishing. And I remember, I think maybe my dad or somebody said something like, everyone can't be a Stephen King. And so back then, the idea of making writing a career would have been very daunting. So, of course, I always had jobs. I had to have a job, and then the job took all my time because whatever I do, I throw all myself into, right? So there wasn't time to write because I had jobs and careers. And so I just avoided doing what I really wanted to do. But the fascinating thing about these times now is that anybody can self-publish, right? And the world is wide open for creative types now. And I think that's the most amazing thing in the last 10, 15 years. The world is wide open for anyone to be able to create anything, and it's cost-effective. There's ways to do it. You have to market yourself. I mean, and you know this, you have to market yourself. But if you write a book and you have an ISBN, it can be sold through Amazon. There are so many ways now to get your work out there. You just have to be your own best advocate. And so I think that's what's changed, and I think it opens up a lot of opportunity for all people. Still, have I gotten there? Not quite yet. Not yet.
I like the words "not yet."
And I think, you know, we were talking a little bit offline here about COVID, and I think now that we're several months into this whole thing, I think COVID can give people.
Did you say months or years?
Months.
It feels like
it's
feel like decades?
It's surreal, right? And everyone knows that it's surreal. But
you said months, and I just went like, no, yeah, it feels yeah, so much longer.
It is. And we're not done with it, right? We know that we're not done with COVID. We're not done with the isolation. We're not done with all of these, the isolation we have to live in to some extent.
I'm not looking forward to the winter by any chance.
No,
but I love the fall, but man, I just want it to be summer longer because I know that inevitable.
At least you can get outdoors, you know. I mean, I don't like the cold, so I don't walk outdoors when it's really cold. But, you know, yeah, you can get outdoors in the summer and at least enjoy the wonderful Michigan weather. But in terms of the long-term impact of COVID, so we all had an adjustment period at the beginning, and then you got tired of it, and then so it was novel for a while, and then it got really exhausting because there was no end in sight. And now maybe people are getting to a place of acceptance to some extent, and your life is like this. We know fall, if you have kids, this is what your fall is. Your kids are going to be home doing, you know, remote learning or whatever. And so even, you know, I think even if a vaccine comes out, it's not coming out in October. I don't care what the news says. It's, you know, and I think a lot of people are going to be nervous about taking it in October. If one came out,
big
I wouldn't
time.
Do it. But so we know we have months and months still left of probably some form of isolation. And so hopefully people are at a place now where they can start to look at, what is it that I want to do with my life? What can I do with some of this downtime? And start to tap into the creative energies that they've always, you know, had and not found an outlet for. And so, you know, that's one thing that I've been trying to focus on is how can I use this isolation to actually be a little bit productive? And I think that helps stave off some of the loss and mourning of our lifestyle that we've lost. And so it's hard to do. It's hard. That work is so hard to actually refocus your energies. But I think if people become aware of the effects of COVID, and you can put a name and you can say, this is the phenomenon that's happening to me, you can start to then reshape what you're gonna make of this. And that's, so when I told you, put researcher down, because I've been doing a lot of research on COVID and the psychological effects of it and the sociological effects of it. And so there's so much that people can be doing, but the first thing is to be able to put words to how you're feeling. And this is an unprecedented phenomenon, right? But yet we're all going through the same thing. We're all going through this isolation and, you know, things that are changing our lives. And we need to identify where we are and put a name to how we're feeling. And then you can start to say, now I can change it. Now it makes sense and I can start to change my habits.
What are some of the things that you've learned that you would like, you know, that you think your average person doesn't know about COVID-19?
Do you want to go into that in the next segment?
No, I want to go into it right now.
How much time you got?
We got all the time in the world, girl.
So there's a lot of research into a thing called bandwidth recovery. And this is a woman named Saya Versheldon. Has done a lot of research, and she wrote a book called Bandwidth Recovery. And her focus was on education, students who have very complex lives and whose bandwidth are taken up. And she started this research in particular to talk about students of color and the kinds of things that take up their bandwidth. But now it applies to everybody. And so I'll try to give you the short version of
this. No, don't take your time.
So, you know, our brains are not very different than a computer. You've got RAM and you've got ROM. You've got long-term memory, you've got short-term memory, you've got processing memory, right? So you can do so much with your brain, but then your brain can't handle anymore. And I have a good example of this. I was trying to...
That's me in every single class.
Exactly.
I've had.
Yes.
5 minutes in.
So I have at work, I have this old Think Center, IBM Think Center, and I was trying to compile the coursework of 14 courses, videos, PDFs, all this stuff that needed to be put onto a laptop for students to do remote learning. And this Think Center did not have that, it's not that beefy, right? So I'm trying to take 80 gig of information and put it onto a thumb drive. And it was taking hours to do this. And then it would shut down and I just had nothing but problems. And so this was a really good analogy for what we're all going through, because your brain can only take so much stuff going on. And so Saya's, her research started out in terms of the bandwidth of people of color. So you've got students of color who have to deal with all of the external stuff that's going on in their brains, how they have to live, the stereotypes that are thrust upon them, trying to break those stereotypes, that takes up so much bandwidth in a student's brain. The fear of failure, the fear of living up to the stereotypes that people are going to have, that you are going to fail.
Expectations.
That takes up, all of that takes up some of this, you know, processing memory, just like a computer. So then you add to that, now, COVID. You add to that Black Lives Matter, you add to that the upcoming election, and there's so much stuff going on in their brains. But now, even for Caucasians who are privileged to some extent, we still have COVID, we have the election, we have Black Lives Matter, and the feelings that come with, you know, how do I feel about my privilege? And so there's so much going on since March of this year. And then your lives, right? So if you have kids, and what are your kids doing for school? Are they home? Are they, you know, and having to entertain them? They don't get to go out with their friends anymore. There's so much going on in our brains. We are all limited in our bandwidth. And so at some point, you just break, right? You can't handle anymore. And I think of all these videos of the Karens, right? We'll call them the Karens.
Oh, yeah.
When
yeah.
a Karen finally snaps, we're all on the...
I don't mean to laugh, but I'm laughing.
The Karens seem to have a lower tolerance for stress, but, you know, we all are going to hit that point, right? There are days where I'm halfway through the workday at home, because I've been working from home since March, and I have to go take a nap. I will just go take a nap. Nobody knows I'm offline for an hour, but I have to do that. Yeah. You know, I'm shut down. We all are going through that. And so once you recognize and can say, I am out of bandwidth, and you understand, it's not your fault. There's no fault here. It's not that you are weak. It's just that your brain literally can only do so much. And so this is not a fault of yours. And it's okay to say, I'm done for today. I really just need to reset. Because there is no digging deeper. There literally is no digging deeper and being stronger anymore. Yeah. We all need to find those ways to recharge ourselves. And so now that we're recognizing that this is our new normal, our current normal, I don't want to call it the new normal because I hope that we find some sort of old lifestyle at some point, but our current normal, once you recognize that your current normal is eating up your bandwidth and you can only do so much, then you need to find those ways to feel better about yourself. And I'll go all the way back now and circle back to pick up Lansing. That's one of the most important things people can do. If you can do something selfless, something that is external, that really helps your bandwidth because it gives you control. It has a feeling of control. And that's why I love picking up garbage for 2 hours every other week. It makes me feel like I actually have some amount of control in the external world. So any kind of altruistic volunteerism that people can do will help restore some of that bandwidth and give you a feeling of power and control back.
That's a great, great piece of advice. It's a great place to leave us to recharge. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Mary Cusack in Blue Owl Coffee in Old Town in Lansing. This is the Magic Hour with Michael McCallum, Michigan Business Network, Rebel Pictures.